Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am deeply grateful you chose to be with me on this 19th day of December 2020. We're going to look at what it means to be acceptable. Yeah, I get questions about the practice and whether or not a person is worthy of it and all that other kind of craziness. So I thought I would talk to you a little bit about what it means to be acceptable. You know, there are many things that trouble us, and most of those things are things we've invited into our life via the thoughts and attitudes we have about conventional living. So it is important to me to help you understand that the acceptable and acceptance of the unacceptable is very important. Listen to me and try to understand here. The practice of love, the practice of kindness, the practice of compassion are not things that are acceptable to most people. Vengeance, pride dictate the way we live our life. So we are constantly forcing our life to be in a certain kind of a conundrum of trying to figure out what is acceptable, what is right, what is good, and that which seems unacceptable. So what I'd like to offer to you is this. You can only accept what your mental acuity based in genetic disposition will allow you to. And that's what you and I have to constantly understand. I have to step back from whatever it is that is my genetics and not allow my mental acuity to define what it is that is my life, that what it is that is my truth or whatever I believe is a truth. How acceptable is my mind to, shall we say, accepting love, compassion, meditation, silence? Not very. People are motivated by ideas and ideals. They are not motivated by love and the bigger picture of compassion, of caring. So we're going to take a look at some questions here that might help some of you. I hope so. I really do. Our society has become more ingrained in hate and fear, the logic of even hate and fear, than it would be the illogic of love and compassion. So this is going to be a tough program for some of you, and I only hope I can help. The first question comes from Howard. And he tells me where he lives, but he doesn't want me to talk about it. So I am not going to talk about it. He asked me, how do I accept the unacceptable? I find this world and the people in it unacceptable. And then he goes on to talk about how he read an article about people in Japan committing suicide, killing themselves, and more than the people, the numbers of those people, more than the numbers that died of the virus. So he goes into detail about that being very sad and unacceptable. And that's where this radio program or this question came from. Just so you know. It is a very difficult world that we live in right now. It is extremely difficult. It does not give much. There is no real compassion for what is going on in people. Right now, everything is run rampant in fear, in hate. And for a lot of people, the only thing that is acceptable in this lifetime is the hate that they can dispel upon others. So what we're seeing right now is prejudice, bias, based in the assumed hatred of whatever it is that is our bias and our prejudice, and we are not making much headway towards anything else only because, and simply because, we don't want to. Everybody's worried about their survival right now, and I understand why. It's a very difficult thing to survive in this world. So a lot of this, Howard, is based in the idea that they can't survive. People are giving up their lives because they don't believe they can survive. It is, as Darwin said, survival of the fittest. And I must understand my relationship to all of that. I have to understand, first of all, my relationship to my DNA. And that means I have to understand the relationship I'm having with my body. Now, what I'm about to say isn't going to go over well with probably you, Howard, or any of my listeners, but here's the deal. If I only relate to myself through my biology, through my body, I'm not going to be able to come up with any real reason to live because maybe I don't have that drive to live in this world, which would mean I would have to be hostile, vengeful, unkind. I would have to live in that kind of climate within myself. And maybe I don't have that in me to do that. Maybe that's what we're seeing in Japan. Maybe that's what we're seeing in the world. Even in this country, suicide rates have gone up. The reason being that people need a leader. They need some kind of leader that's going to tell them what to do, how to do it. They want a father figure. They want a mother figure. They want something to tell them, show them, give them reassurance that they can survive. And typically that something is a man or someone in power who governs them and tells them, you're free, you get to do what you want, we'll defend that, blah, 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 blah. There's all sorts of things. How do I accept the unacceptable? I'm going to have to take a look at my biases. I'm going to have to take a look at where I come from within myself. What is it that I am doing within myself that cultivates bias? What kind of iniquity am I living with on the inside of myself that is tearing my life apart? I will tell you what it is if you want to know, Howard. It is the human heart. It is the emperor of all malice, the human heart. What your human heart cannot deal with, other human hearts live off of. So you have to understand that it is only in the human heart that we find the miss. We misunderstand what it is to have a life. A life that is beyond the ideas of survival, a life that is beyond the ideas of right and wrong, a meaningful life where we transition into transcendence. And if I don't do that, if I am not interested in that, if that is not something that stirs me on the inside, moves me to be motivated, let's say, to find a greater source of life, a greater source other than my own genetics, my own bias, and looking for a cult leader, which I think Trump is a cult leader. I think you start to look at things then from a different position. When you develop a meditative mind, a quiet mind, a mind that is no longer striving to live under the strain of ideas, ideals, and thoughts, you cultivate a new kind of mind. This mind does not generate its thoughts. In fact, it is not interested in thoughts, but it doesn't generate its thoughts from emotionality, the human heart. It starts to generate nothing. In fact, It is a quiet mind. You live in the quietude of consciousness. And if you work upon this state of consciousness, you actually cultivate it through the way you live, the way you act, the way you are motivated from the inside to live your life, then things start to change within you. Then you will start to see the vista that is before you of a new life, even a new sense of livingness in this world. You won't be confined to the hostilities, the prejudice, the biases of your own genetic nature, your own DNA. You will start to transcend the meaning of your life as you knew it when you were only living from the body. Now, once you understand this, once this starts to emulate from you, then conditions and circumstances of your own life begin to look different. And now you have options. And that is really what it's all about, to have options. So, actually, Howard, this is how it's done. We're not interested as a populace in love. We're not interested in insight. Most people are pretty vanilla. They go along with the whole idea of survival and to their ideas and their ideals, what that survival entails, what it means, and they miss. They miss their entire life. It is very hard to live in this world as a sannyasin of love. Most people can't do it, won't do it, and don't think it will produce anything because everything in this world has to produce something. So, something that pertains to their survival one way or another. Howard, you're going to have to go within, and that's probably not something you're going to be willing to do. And so this problem or this question you have is going to go on and on and on. Until one day you've had enough, and instead of committing suicide, like some do, you will start to live your life from a different premise, exploring your options in compassion, forgiveness, and love. Hope that helps you. Please forgive me. Namaste. I can just... You know, when I am answering these questions, I can often hear the people who ask them shaking their head going, I don't understand. I don't understand. It's a very, very sad thing that we have lost our sense of just basic intelligence. The next one comes from Jan, and she lives in Southern California. And she says, how did I get here? Oh, my God. Hard to accept that I'm living in this world as my world. What do I do, Jan? Transcend it. That's what you do. You transcend it. You look at the world, you see it for what it is. How did this world get to where it is? Well, first of all, we overpopulated. And the second part of that is there is a great majority of people in this world that live according to the precepts and the concepts of their instincts, genetic and biological DNA instincts. It's really not very difficult to understand all this. We live by instinctual survival, and that's what we're all about. We're about getting through this life and trying to survive and have some fun along the way. And that's as far as it goes, Jan. Most people are pretty shallow. They're looking for anything that's free, anything that's fun, and anything that's fast. Free, fast, and fun is what we're all about as a nation, as a civilization. And then there's the pride of, you know, whatever. Biology, we have that going on. All of these things have to be lost. You have to let them go. If you live according to the body, you will be a very disappointed person. You won't really see the meaning of your own life and the existence of love within you. And it is love that matters, not solving problems. You can't solve political problems with politics. You can't solve mental and emotional illness with mental and emotional illness. Those who often try to help the mentally ill are mentally ill. So, you know, anything that comes out of this culture or this society is not going to help the culture and the society. We have to have something much deeper than that. And we're not, as a nation, we would not be willing to do that. But as individuals here and there, if you really want to do something drastically different with your life, you have to start honing in on the state of your mind and what your mind answers to, what your body is predicting your mind will think or wanting your mind to think. You've got to really look at everything inner work. This takes a lot of effort and time and often resources. And most people don't want to do that. They're looking at, you know, going on vacation and being with their loved ones, blah, blah. They think they love them, but they don't. And the whole idea starts to gain momentum in the idea of finding people of like mind and like heart and like body, like human heart. And that's all we're about, is comforting ourselves in our indulgences and not really looking at the depth of our life and how mentally ill we all are if we live according to the body. Those who live by the body often, you know, die by the body. It was Mary Magdalene who said, "The reason you get sick and die is because you love what misleads you." And she was right. What a beautiful woman she must have been. Yes, how insightful of her. We do love, honor, and obey those things that mislead us away from love and only into prejudice and fear. Look at the state of your pride right now, Jan. That's where you need to look. That's the ticket right there. That's the light bulb that is constantly shining in your life, showing you where you're at and what is going on with you. If you really want to know the truth, take a look at the state of your pride. Whatever that pride is, whatever is that pride, that is the state of the ego. And you say to me here, how did I get here? Oh my God, hard to accept. I don't know what you mean by here. How did you get here? But I am assuming, and that makes an ass out of me, that you're not in a place where you feel like you're transcending or doing anything different than anyone else. Most people are carbon copies of this society. And the culture we have is, how clever are we to make it look like it's an original? And it's not. There is no originals here. So when you want to look a little deeper and you want to understand the nature of your life, you will have to become meditative. Yes, meditative. Yeah, the mind that you have right now can only have certain answers. Answers that it can accept, that it believes is logical and real. So that really narrows down the possibility for some answers that are different or of a higher caliber than the ones you're entertaining right now, which have caused all the problems in the first place. So when you're looking at all of this, you got to ask, how can my mind, which started my issues, end my issues? It can't. It just can't. It will be just a circle you'll be going in, like a dog chasing its own tail. And the trouble is, this dog, when we chase our tails like that, we catch it and bite it, and it hurts. And then we blame some illusionary problem or condition for the problem that we ourselves have created in the first place. I deal with a lot of different kinds of people in my career every day of my life, and I can tell you most of them have no idea what the hell they're doing on this planet. They just don't know, and they create that hell. Jan, wake up. Wake up. Don't do the, oh my God, how did I get here thing. Do something about it. Search for something beyond the confines of your genetic instincts, your mental acuity. Go beyond the beyond, as the Buddha said. I hope that helps you. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question comes from Raymond. He does not tell me where he lives. I am unacceptable to the practice that you teach. I could never do all of the things you ask or talk about on your programs. What do I do, Raymond? Well, Raymond, you do them. You do the ones you can, and you keep persevering. You have to have some sense of perseverance. If it is really important to you to awaken, to no longer be confined to this lifetime in this world the way it is, then you will do everything in your power. You will be persevering through compassion, through love, through meditation, through, you know, changing your life by living more consciously. You persevere. And you work at it and work at it and work at it. And when you do all these kinds of things, working at yourself like that, you start to have subtle changes eventually. But the problem is the motivational factor, because it is hard to motivate people to do what is necessary for the sake of something that they can't imagine will have a reward. So there is no carrot to be dangled here, and that's the problem. When there is no carrot, there is no way to look at it in any other way other than a waste of time. So it's going to be very hard for you, it's very hard for most people, to think that they, A, could be that wrong about their life, B, that they can do anything about it, and C, that what they need to do about it doesn't appeal to their logical mind, which caused the problem in the first place. So it's a vicious circle here on Earth. It's a vicious circle with people. And you've got to understand that. It isn't that the teachings of the Buddha or Jesus or Lhasa are not true or confined to, you know, some kind of imaginary good or whatever you want to think. They're not philosophy. They're actual ways of life, and they all coincide into the same thing. It is about the state of quietude, achieving a sense of quietude and a sense of love. In that quietude, it is only in that quietude that you and I find love. And it is love, this love, which is not emotional, which is not personal, like we'd like to believe it is, sets the tone for a meaningful existence here on Earth, beyond the confines of belief. So that's how it works. It's very simple. Very few people can do it. Very few people want to do it. But nonetheless, and less than none, that's the way it's done. So, Raymond, I wish you well. And if I can help you further, you know, here I am. You can get a hold of me. And we can talk about this a little further. Anyway, thank you for your question. Please forgive me. Namaste. If you have a comment, a question, something I might be able to help you with, I'd be honored. I really would. Just email me at greg@aspire.org. That's Greg at Aspire, A-S-P-I-R-E.org, O-R-G. I'd love to hear from you. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. We'll be back on the air tomorrow. I got some more wonderful questions. Please forgive me. Namaste.